This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hi, glad you've been with us, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Today in the city of Denver, they are going to honor Pat Bowlen, who passed away at the age of 75 after a long battle with Alzheimer's disease. They're going to do that at the stadium for fans in the area. No matter where you live, in whatever country, whatever state you live in, whatever team you root for, you have a love-hate relationship with your owner of the team you root for. You want them to do certain things. Sometimes they do that, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes you wish the owner would sell the team because they're not doing enough. And sometimes there's an owner that is so embraced by the community, it becomes bigger than the community itself. And Pat Bowlen was that individual in Denver. When he owned the Broncos, they went to 7 Super Bowls. They won 3. Always had a winning product, almost always had a winning product on the field for Denver fans to enjoy. You know, it's hard to win Super Bowls, but he at least gave the Broncos always a fighting chance to do that. And it's refreshing to know that there are certain owners in for certain teams that are so beloved by that community that, again, when they pass, it becomes a whole statewide level of mourning, a statewide level of remembrance. There will be a celebration of his life because of everything he's meant to the city and everything he's meant to players. The stories were pouring in since his passing of guys that were on practice squads for the Broncos that would say, you know, I was at this charity event with all the other players, and my father had passed away or my brother had passed away, and Bowlen sought me out to talk to me and offer condolences and offer a helping hand in anything I needed. There were so many stories like that were flooding in of his generosity to people that played for him and also the community at large. It is refreshing because as sports fans, again, we're very cynical and we're so demanding of our teams. And some owners, they treat the team that they have as a commodity, just a business asset, and some really embrace it and really say, I will do whatever I can to bring a winner to this organization that I just bought. There are a lot of them out there. There are a lot of owners out there who are synonymous with their team, and today you'll see that in any of the footage of the celebration in Denver on the life of Pat Bowlen, who passed away at the age of 75. We'll continue and roll along. It's SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Yesterday, the Raptors had their parade and celebration in downtown Toronto, and there was a shooting.
Yep.
Three people were the radio play-by-play announcer had to get on the mic and say that something was happening. And
people did he start calling calm. It?
Yeah, right? That's what I was. Yeah, that's a good one. Did he start doing the play-by-play, running over to the left side? I mean, but that is the scariest thing about being in a crowd like that, right?
It's very scary, and it's kind of giving Canada a bad look.
It really is.
Canada's supposed to be nice and apologize for everything.
Yeah, and not only that,
shooting people.
Don't they give us a hard time whenever we have these tragedies in our country? And then they kind of go, "Well, that doesn't happen here."
Yeah,
they kind of do that, and it's kind of rude to do that because when it happens in our country, it's real tragedies. I mean, people die. And
firmly believe that we're going to go to war with Canada over sports soon.
Probably.
You know, first of all, I mean, they took a shot at our women.
That's right. Yeah, we talked about that yesterday.
Then, you know, we give them some of our American-born NBA stars, and they're trying to shoot them.
Yeah, we took the Stanley Cup, so I think we're even.
Yeah. Now, imagine this. Imagine if anywhere in Canada, if they were able to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, it's far-fetched, I know. They can't win Stanley Cups like we can.
That's correct.
But if they were to do it, the state would, or the whole country would burn down.
Think about this. If you're a 26-year-old, no, even longer than that, 20, maybe 26, 27-year-old Canadian. You've never seen a Canadian team win the Stanley Cup.
Has it really been that long?
1993.
God, that's terrible.
Montreal won the Cup. And then that's it.
Canada just isn't good at hockey.
That's right. They just give it up. By the way, we took a team. We took a team from them in the Winnipeg Jets, right? That was popular.
Yep.
Really, really popular. Turned them into the Phoenix Coyotes, now Arizona Coyotes. Gave them the Atlanta Flames, and then they turned them into the Winnipeg Jets. The Winnipeg Jets are like the Cleveland Browns. Like, they lost the franchise, and yet the city, it was still so popular that the NHL was like, we got to find a way to give them back. What team can we give them? Oh, Atlanta, you go up there. I think it was the Atlanta Flames. It might have been the Atlanta Thrashers. Atlanta Flames turned into Calgary. They've had two teams that didn't work out. The Atlanta Thrashers.
Thrashers.
Then we get the Flames. How old am I? 90? The Atlanta Flames was like 60 years ago. What am I talking about?
Did we give them a Carolina team, or do we still have a Carolina team?
No, we have a Carolina team. They used to be the Hartford Whalers.
Ah, yes, the Whales.
Yeah, the Hartford Whalers. Tampa Bay is an expansion team. Let's see. Anaheim's an expansion team. The Dallas Stars used to be the Minnesota North Stars. Yep. The Minnesota Wild are an expansion team. I'm trying to think of somewhere else. The Ottawa Senators are an expansion team. But yeah.
But see, literally Toronto, I'm not being figurative. I'm going to say literally shot themselves in the foot. Because you think Kawhi's going to want to stick around now? No.
Wow. No.
Nah, he's out.
Kawhi Leonard, that is such a tough decision now for him. Not really, actually, because he wanted to go to LA to begin with, and now the Lakers have just opened this wide open door to come and continue the fun you had there, but have it here where you wanted to be in the first place. Like, remember, it wasn't that long ago that we were saying, "Wow, why would Kawhi want to go to the Lakers as dysfunctional as that disaster is?" But all they had to do was calm down. Call the Pelicans, make the trade, and now they're an attractive place to land if you're Kawhi Leonard. That's all they had to do. Kawhi's like, I don't know, man. Magic left. Rob Pelinkas. Jeannie Buss doesn't know what she's doing. I don't know. Wait, they just got Anthony Davis? Yes. Head on over. I mean, that's it. I mean, that to me is the interesting decision in this whole Anthony Davis deal. We always talk about this in every sport, right? The dominoes that happen, whether it's coaching or whatever. But think about the dominoes here. It's really fascinating how you can have one move, Anthony Davis goes to the Lakers, that can affect many franchises in both the Western Conference in terms of how they are in comparison in a playoff race and to win that conference and go to the NBA Finals, or the Eastern Conference where Kawhi Leonard's decision affects the Raptors and the East in such a way that now you're going to have certain teams are in better play than others. There are more. It becomes a little bit more open in the East because you lose one team that won the Finals and they become weakened by this move. This is a big, big, big decision for Kawhi Leonard because, if he's always wanted to go to L.A. and was willing to put up with a Laker team that may not have had its ducks in a row or feels like it had its ducks in a row, but L.A. and the Lakers are just still too attractive, now it's just got so attractive it's incredible. It's amazing. And I don't know. It's like you deciding on a car and then you find out the car is half price. Like, oh, well, that's the car I always wanted. Now it's half price. I got to go get it. It's the same thing here. If that's your dream scenario, and now that scenario has just upped the ante in making you celebrate even more than you're celebrating now with the possibility of winning more and more titles, and you get to do it in L.A., where you've wanted to be to begin with. Or does the draw of that city and the draw of that town and the draw of those fans and your teammates and your coach and front office and all of that, did you get anything out of that that caused you to say, nope, I'm staying right here? That's the decision. But would anybody blame him if he said, thanks. I didn't want to come here. Now, Kawhi's never going to say this because Kawhi doesn't say much, although he did have a good little speech at the party. But in Kawhi's head, let's say, he says, I didn't want to come here. I'm glad I did. We won a championship. this, I'll never forget it. My heart lies somewhere else, but I'll always have a part of my heart here. Bye. But thanks for everything. And if you're the Raptors, good. Thanks. We got what we wanted out of it. I mean, that was Masai Ujiri's big gamble. Masai Ujiri's payoff was not, let's get Kawhi Leonard to stay. If Kawhi Leonard stayed, but they never went to the finals, right? Boston got better and beat him. Milwaukee beat him. Philadelphia beat him. Then the gamble didn't succeed. It was never to just lock in another superstar. They could have kept DeMar DeRozan and did that. The object of it all was to win a championship, to get over a hump in the Eastern Conference that was now open because of the departure of LeBron James. So now if you're Masai Ujiri, that's paid off. And if Kawhi's people come to you and say, he's leaving, thanks for the offer, but he's gone, you can be a little bitter, but in the way, why would you? Because it paid off. You cashed your chips and you won. And so now the Lakers will get the benefit of him coming out. And because that one move, the Anthony Davis move to the Lakers, sets a lot of things in motion. It's pretty attractive, too. I mean, it's, you know, like I said before, we've been saying this all the time. This, winning in Toronto is one thing. Giving a city its first championship is one thing. But winning with the Lakers, that's like, you know, it's like winning the World Series with the Yankees. Can win the World Series with the Kansas City Royals. Can win the World Series with Milwaukee. You can win the World Series with the Astros. And those are great accomplishments. And those are cities that will be loyal and have great fan bases. But when you win with the Yankees and you add to their legacy, it's just something different. And the Lakers are just that kind of level. You know, we say this all the time in sports. There's being a starting quarterback in the NFL, and there's being a starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. Those are two different things. There's being a head coach in college football, and there's being a head coach at Notre Dame. Those are two totally different things. You want to play center field for the Rays? Play center field for the Yankees. Two totally different things.
Yeah, because all the other ones, what you're mentioning, are they can become forgettable.
Yep, they become forgettable.
Yeah, I mean, you win a World Series with the Kansas City Royals. I mean, yeah, that was a good story. You know, they peaked, and they're gone now. Yeah. But you win one with the Yankees, you all of a sudden, you're etched in history.
And again, they're different levels of franchises. I mean, listen, I remember when Kansas City was making its run, when they lost the World Series to the Giants and then won the World Series against the Mets. And, you know, they had that. Remember, there was a period of time where they were really good. They were making the playoffs and they were making the World Series. I had baseball guys on. I had different baseball guys on at the time. And, you know, from different papers and different, and, you know, people who did this for a living in terms of analysis. And I always said, listen, is this sustainable? I mean, are we talking good for a while? Because, listen, they are the Royals, but, I mean, is this something that, is this a building block to something that's got some lasting success? And most all of them, and there were a few that said, well, we'll have to wait and see, but most all of them said yes. And they were all wrong. Because it wasn't very much, it wasn't long after that, that they couldn't keep Hosmer, they couldn't keep the guys that were on that team that won the world championship. Right? But the Yankees, the Lakers, right? The Cowboys, for example, they're just these iconic franchises that you, if they're not good, you're wondering when they're going to be good because they should be good. Like the Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl in 30 years, right? 30, what is it? 96? So maybe even longer than that. No, 25 years, right? They haven't won a Super Bowl in forever. And people are like, when are they going to win a Super Bowl again? There are other franchises that never get that kind of level of, when are they ever going to win a Super Bowl? Like Detroit or Cleveland, right? We don't have this national outcry. San Diego. We don't have this national outcry to wonder why they're not good. Yet for some reason, the Cowboys, it's like, got to get the Cowboys up for greatness. It's better when the Cowboys are good. Nobody says that about the Lions, unfortunately. Nobody ever says that about other teams. Why? Because the Cowboys are different. They're just different. Not better, different.
And the flip side of, or the other thing that goes with that too, is that we all think Dak Prescott is one of the top 10 quarterbacks because he starts for the Cowboys.
Completely. And if he was the starter for the Jaguars, we'd probably wonder if he was still going to be in the league. We'd probably wonder if the Jags are going to be thinking about figuring out their next level of quarterback.
Yeah.
But the Cowboys, it's like, oh, wait, Dak Prescott, when's he getting his $35 million a year contract?
Exactly.
Right? I mean, that to me, that shows you the difference. So again, back to the Kawhi Leonard thing. The Lakers are different. Again, Everyone's saying Toronto, now king of the NBA. Yeah, for now, but not really. Because again, the crown is passed around until a Lakers or Celtics or whatever these iconic teams are, take it away and take it back. Miami Heat had it when LeBron was there, right? Spurs had it 5 years over, what, 20 years, right? I mean, it's one of those things where, again, look at the record book. Look at the finals, right? Color-code it just to make the point home. Look how many times the Lakers are there. It's mind-boggling. It really will. It'll blow your mind how many times the Lakers have played for the NBA championship since the 80s. It's an incredible run. And that's why it's attractive, because it is different. It's very different. All right, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's, please, as we continue along on SB Nation AM. SB.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know, it's interesting. We're getting into the NBA offseason, but you know what? Training camp starts in the NFL in like a month, less than a month. Right?
Yes.
I know. The Broncos get to start early, and I think there's like two other teams that get
How
to start.
How much is the NFL itching just to get started, because the NBA rolling. Seems to be dominating?
Oh, heavens. Yeah. No kidding.
The NFL sitting
get
back.
Some training camp, baby.
I mean, it used to be NFL was a year-round, every single day topic for us. Yeah, I mean, what, like 2 years removed from that now?
Right.
And now I'm betting Roger Goodell is just sitting there like, can't someone just do something stupid so we can talk about it? We need a scandal.
I just looked it up. The Baltimore Ravens and the Denver's going to start later, but the Baltimore Ravens start rookies report July 11th. With veterans checking in on the 18th.
Right around the corner.
That is right around the corner. I thought the Broncos were going to start early because they're playing in the Hall of Fame game. So, but apparently not. They're starting in late.
They don't need their start early.
I thought they allowed you. They're Chicago. Fine, Chicago is rookies report on July 16th. So again, that's less than a month away.
Do you believe all these rumors that the Bears are the ones who are going to win the Super Bowl? It seems to be a lot of talk about the Bears winning the Super Bowl this year.
Wow. I don't know if I'd buy in yet. I don't know. This offseason, I don't know if I'd make that claim. Don't know if I'd make that bet.
Yeah, because they're not getting past the Browns.
Right. No. We're all over that. We are all over that.
Just crown the Browns now.
All right. So here's a list of the teams without a Super Bowl championship. Ready? Speaking of the Browns. The Bengals, the Bills, the Browns, Cardinals, Chargers, Falcons, Jaguars, Lions, Panthers, Texans, Titans, and Vikings. That's a good list. That's 12 teams out of 32 that have not won a championship.
Now, out of those 12, who's most likely to get one first?
Who's likely to get one first? Is there one on this list that would get one this year? Well, the Texans are always a threat.
Yeah,
they stay healthy.
Yeah, but you know, they'll find some way to mess it up.
They're not the Browns. Cleveland, everybody's darling of a franchise, but we'll see.
Yeah, they're winning it.
Chargers, come on now.
Their window, last hour we were talking about how the Rockets' window just is disappearing.
It's
right
closing.
Before our eyes.
Yeah, it's disappearing.
The Chargers' window is pretty much right there.
Right.
I mean, they haven't really addressed the fact that Phillip Rivers is probably going to retire in the next year or two. So there's no viable backup. I know they just who did they just sign?
Well, who did they just sign?
They signed.
It's amazing how I forget in this offseason.
Tyrod Taylor.
Oh, Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor. Yes.
Tyrod Taylor. But he's not the future. I want the Chargers to tank this year, going all in for.
So take the window
this year. Try to win it this year. Tank next year. That's my goal for
them. Here's your window. But no, seriously, the Chargers probably in all seriousness, the Chargers are the best, are the team that probably is going to win this first if they don't pull it off in the next couple of years. Now, what about the Falcons though? Listen, they're not that far away from going to the Super Bowl. I know they struggle at, like, sometimes you go, wow, what, was this team really in the Super Bowl? But if defense gets better and just healthy,
I don't know if they can hold the lead, Tony.
They got to really run the ball a little bit. Yeah, they got to hold the lead. Exactly.
Got to hold the lead. I mean, there was a game once where they lost. They coughed up a pretty decent lead. Can't remember what game that was.
I remember vaguely them holding almost like a 25-point lead, I think it was.
Yeah, I don't want to make our Atlantonian fans upset.
Tell you what, though. Let me tell you, man, that's the kind of loss that stings for like a generation. That's the kind of stuff you tell your kids.
Did it surprise you that they kind of collapsed the following season?
Yeah.
No, not at all.
It's a big, huge letdown.
That one had to hurt. They were, I mean, we talked about, what was it, the trophy being in the Warriors? No, it was in the Raptors locker room for game five, right?
Right.
It was in the, yeah, for the Raptors, the trophy was in their locker room game five, and they coughed it up.
Yep.
28-3 in the fourth quarter. I'm guaranteeing that trophy was in the Falcons locker room.
28-3. You're telling your staff, "All right, get the Falcons t-shirts ready and the hats.
Start
get ready to send
the
Patriots onto the plane to whatever organization is going to ship it overseas.
Probably time to put the plastic wrap on the locker room. Just, you know, so that way it gives you enough time.
Yeah, exactly. Just go do that. We'll be ready to go when this thing is finally over. But listen, this is why in golf, Dustin Johnson is so well respected, because in 2015, when he was at the U.S. Open at Chambers Bay, he three putted a relatively easy distance. And Justin Spieth was like, "Oh, I'm the U.S. Open champ." He just three putted. Wow, that's amazing. And instead of collapsing and like wallowing in self-pity, the next year he went back to the U.S. Open and like won by three shots. Right, that's hard to do in sports where you lose a heartbreaker. It's not so much losing, right? Like, you can go to a Super Bowl and get beat. I mean, just beat down and say, "Wait a minute, okay, we got to figure out how to get back to that."
Not until he won. Until Dustin Johnson won, we always looked at him as the choke artist.
Yeah, because he did it again. He did it at the PGA
a couple
too.
Times.
Yeah, so it's one thing when you're a team to get beat, when you're like, "Okay, wait, we're not quite ready. We got to tighten some things up, but we got a goal now. We're going back to this game." But when you have a 28-3 lead and you mentally, because we're all human, this is the whole thing. We're all human. Those guys think sometimes like we think. When it's 28-3, they can say all they want about, "Oh, no, it's not over until it's over. No. But there is a mindset that happens when you have that kind of lead, that you're a little bit more worried, you're a little bit more timid, you're a little bit more cautious, but you always think you got this thing in the bag. And then you lose. It is such a letdown. It does. You don't process it the same way. You know who went through this? Seattle. Have they ever climbed out of the "we should have given it to Marshawn Lynch" mode since that tragedy of a Super Bowl? And I use that loosely. Don't take me seriously on that, please. It's sarcasm. Since that moment of ineptitude, have they recovered? Right. I mean, it's a tough. At least they won. At least they have a title. But my God, you get to that game and you blow a lead like that, it just affects you differently. So, but look, on the list here of franchises without a trophy, without a Super Bowl, I like the Chargers and I like the Texans. I think those are the two teams if I'm a betting guy. What about the Vikings?
See, then they lost their, I think they missed their window, because I don't really see Kirk Cousins being the answer.
Yeah, I don't either. But still, Vikings, they got a pretty good team.
You know, I mean, I know you're high on the Chargers, you're high on the Texans there. I need to throw in the Browns. I'm maybe it's too soon. Maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid, but I'm really wanting to drink that Kool-Aid.
Yeah, me too.
They look like a fun team this coming season.
Yeah, I know. It would. Listen, I've had my...
And given the fact that their schedule is one of the more easier ones, I think
there's a lot of confidence in that group, right? I mean, there's a lot of confidence. A lot of guys, they know how to play in the league. It's not a bunch of young guys that are just getting their feet wet. You know, they got some veterans on there too that know this league pretty well. And if Freddie Kitchens is the coach that they think he is, yeah, that's going to be a formidable team. But man, I kind of pulling for Rivers, man. I just, it's been a long, long time. SB Nation Radio.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb for a Tuesday morning. Ron Culver's got it all. Let's get to the good.
Oh, the good of the day. I had this, you know, to be honest with you, I had this in the dumb earlier. So I don't...
How does something go from dumb to good? Was there a change in the story?
There wasn't a change in the story. There was just maybe a change in my thinking.
Okay, all right. I'm looking forward to this now.
But with what I can believe that it had to be a survey of 100 middle-aged men.
Okay.
Because there's a survey out there saying that women prefer dad bods to six-pack abs.
Yeah, I saw this. It was in the New York Post.
Yeah, which is a reputable newspaper, if I remember correctly. Or news organization, because there's really no such thing as newspapers anymore, right?
This can't possibly be true, is it?
Well, I put it to the test. I asked my wife, you know, what would you prefer, you know, a dad bod or six-pack abs? And she honestly told me dad bod.
Okay. And what was her reason?
The reason behind it is because if you have six-pack abs, you're probably, you know, unless you're just a workout junkie, you're probably a little superficial.
Could be. Yeah, that's true.
Or, you know, highly into yourself.
That's true.
As opposed to a dad bod, obviously, you know, not tooting my own horn here, but I got a fantastic dad bod.
So do I.
That I'm not really into myself, that I am a giver much more than a taker.
We're comfortable in our own skin, as the article exactly points out. Therefore, we've got confidence. Therefore, that becomes attractive.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Are we telling ourselves this just to...
That's why I'm thinking that this was, you know, if this was the Family Feud, Steve Harvey would be reading the question that 100 middle-aged men were asked.
Right.
What do women prefer? That's how I feel this question came about.
Sitting around the house and doing nothing.
Yeah, I'm just curious how many women were actually asked this question.
A man that doesn't know how to fix anything around the house.
Now, there is also a slight dumb part to this, because there is a minor league baseball team who is changing their jersey upcoming soon to it's a dad bod jersey.
That's dumb.
Yeah. That could have pushed the dumb, so I decided to leave
it out.
Don't get
that crazy.
I felt that we needed to mention the dad bod jersey.
Okay, I have got to say this, and this I feel like in the last few years that women have the new idea is, you know, big is beautiful, if you will. There's like a lot of plus size models now. They're in Sports Illustrated, right? So they have been able to say, look, guys, you guys can't get women, you can't get us in size twos all the time and with this certain body type, like a Barbie doll. It doesn't work that way. And so now the culture, or the way we're defining fashion and the way we're defining public, we are forcing this image that says, you know what, this is beautiful too. Men have not done that. Okay. The men have not done that. Right. Because again, the way media perceives good-looking guys or men is six-pack abs. So we have not done this with the dad bod. But women have been able to do that on their side by saying, look, this is insane for you to think that we all should be size twos with, you know.
So what you're saying is that this is
large chests and all that.
This but is the our guy, moment? Men,
could it be? That's what I'm saying. What I'm getting to is because the plus-size thing with the women, like in Sports Illustrated, the swimsuit issue it's going on for a number of years now. Haley Clawson was at the Super Bowl.
Yep.
She was doing the rounds at the Super Bowl. And she's a plus size model. Ashley Graham was doing the music awards. She's a host at the music awards. She's a plus size model. But where's our dad bod model that's appearing at fashion shows? Where's our dad bod? Is it Chris Pratt? Because this article talked about Chris Pratt. Is it really Chris Pratt, though? I mean, where's our
Chris Pratt's a good runner. He doesn't have the ripped six pack abs that, you know, say like a Ryan Reynolds would have.
Right, but are we saying to women, okay, fine, here's Chubby McChubb, and he's a sex symbol too. Accept it.
Yeah, but I draw the line if it's John Goodman.
Yeah, I know. Right?
Sorry, John.
You know. I remember I was a couple of years ago, I was telling somebody, my wife is a big Winnie the Pooh fan. She loves Winnie the Pooh. And this one friend of mine, she married Winnie the Pooh. And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't know how to take it. I think they meant it as a cool thing, but I was like, wait a minute.
Yep.
Pooh is not really known for going to the gym and eating vegetables.
Pooh actually got stuck in a hole once.
Right. So that's been this is interesting to see in the next couple of years if this is how the industry, whatever the industry is, starts saying, amen, it's okay. Have a little pot belly.
So, yeah, so what you're basically saying,
you're good.
This good of the day has potential to be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, it has potential to be excellent, right? Listen, you can't even, there's a woman actress on the TV show This Is Us. You ever seen that show?
Yeah, of course.
Very large woman, right? Yeah. You can't even say to her, you can't even say, hey, that's, you should lose weight just for health reasons without people losing their minds.
Now, the only people we can say that to now are the ones that are featured on My 600-Pound Life for whatever.
Yeah, that's it. Right.
We can say, okay, that's overdoing it.
Like, I don't want you to die at 35 of a heart attack. Like, I want you to live for a long period of time. You might want to lose some pounds because there aren't any 90-year-old fat people, right? Like, if you're overweight, you're going to live till 90, right? But you can't even say that these days because it appears insensitive.
Yep. So
it's the way the industry works. So I'm wondering if the dad bod thing kicks in. All right, let's get to the bad.
The bad of the day is that we've talked about this before. The Dominican Republic.
Yes.
8 people have died so far. You know, they even took to the streets to shoot one of their own icons.
Oh, I know.
Now there's a news story coming out that nearly 50 people got ill. They were members of a Jimmy Buffett fan club, and they all decided to vacation together down in the Dominican Republic, and nearly 50, 47, in fact, of them got ill all at the same time.
We need to have
an intervention.
What is going on, and why? I mean, listen, I'm not watching news enough, like, you know, David Muir and, you know, Lester Holt. Are we sending reporters down there to uncover this?
Which reporter wants to go down there?
I don't know.
Do you think you'd come back? Do you think you'd get violently ill? There's been reports. I mean, there was one lady who she was just sipping a drink at the bar, and then she felt like she started vomiting blood.
See, this is...
So there's something going on down there.
Yeah, there really is. And I am really concerned that it... Okay, listen, I don't want to start anything, but I'm really concerned that it's being purposely done. Does that make sense?
No, that's like what I'm like, kind of hinting not at
just,
as well.
It's not just like, oh, there's a parasite in the water that we're not accustomed to or something, and it's just like there's somebody is like tampering with things at these resorts that some people aren't affected by, but enough people are to make it news, that it's making an impact. And that's what I'm concerned about. I don't have any evidence for this. It's just a theory, but it doesn't. This is too much. Can I be honest with you? If this happened in New York City, where like if you had a bunch of tourists from another country, out of country tourists, a foreign tourists, come to New York, and you had 10 or 11 deaths in a 4-week period. It's like for some reason French tourists are dying in New York City. It'd be a global story that demanded answers.
Yes.
And for whatever reason.
And we would be at the forefront of demanding the answers.
Right. We would. And in the country, we would say, well, we got to look into this too. Why are French tourists in New York City dying? Right. And yet we cannot seem to get a handle on this, and people are dying in the Dominican Republic and being told by the country, oh, just get the body cremated. Yeah, you don't want to look into this too close. You don't want to open up this. This is weird.
So, yeah, I felt the need to issue a travel warning.
Yeah, this is really, really weird. And so I did see one report where the president of the country or some – no, not president. Some spokesperson for the tourism industry said, oh, when you go to an all-inclusive resort, people overeat and overdrink.
Yep.
We do that every day here. What are you talking about?
We're Americans.
We're not unused to that. That's how we roll. Have you ever been to Vegas? My God, what's wrong with you? What do you think? What do you think? We're eating meat the size of a deck of cards?
Yeah, if you're in Vegas, you can sit on your ass for 8 hours playing a game, and then we will give you a free buffet.
I mean, my wife and I went out to dinner to celebrate our new house. I had a 22-ounce steak. My God, what is wrong with that person? And it came with baked potato. Plus a salad. It was a nice package deal, and I got dessert
salad.
As well.
No. It's a salad doing
They wanted that. To put a salad in front of me just in case I was still hungry. What do you mean we overate and overdrank down there? We weren't used to it. What are you talking about? What a dumb thing to say. God, all right, what's the dumb?
That is a dumb thing to say, but not as dumb as this guy who has decided to double down on his son being traded from the Lakers to the Pelicans.
Oh, boy. Okay.
The miles out of L.A. is I said, you know what? I don't like New Orleans. I don't like New Orleans. Lonzo ain't going nowhere. He the best in the world. L.A. Lakers ain't going to never let him go. First thing they do, exactly what I want to do, let him go. Because it's raggedy over there. Even the writing is on the new shirt that he going to wear. It said no L.A. on it.
So you're sitting here telling me that the reason why you said that Lonzo, you didn't want to be in New Orleans. Yes. And that, you know what, he ain't going anywhere. He'll never get traded from the Lakers. Yes. Is because you wanted him traded from the Lakers?
Exactly what I wanted to do.
One of
the best teams he going to play on is New Orleans. Great. With him at the one, Aaron at the two, Ingram at the three, Zion at the four,
Ingram with
Julius at the five. You get my boy them running teams like that, we're going to run loose.
Did you feel that way before they acquired Zion?
Oh, yes.
Stop lying. Stop lying.
I'm just that good.
Stop lying.
I'm that good. It's exactly what I wanted. I told them it was cold. I don't know if it's cold or hot over there in New Orleans. But I'll tell you one thing. They said, oh, you haters. Check this out. We got rid of Lonzo and LeVar. Guess what? I've been here before the Lakers. LeVar ain't going nowhere. Lonzo going to NOLA. But I'll still be in L.A., so you'll be able to see me.
I don't know what to say.
Exactly.
I literally don't know how to put that into context. That is the rambling of a lunatic.
Yeah.
That is a rambling of a lunatic who was trying so desperately to sell the snake oil that he has that's the cure-all to the Western town, and he can't get rid of it.
Yeah. I do love the fact that he mentioned that the shirt does say no L.A.
Yeah.
I thought that's funny.
But, no L.A.
But
I
yeah,
like that.
I don't
the shirt
even, I don't
says even... no L.A. Oh, he can spin anything.
But you know, that little soundbite is confusing because it sounds like he's like he didn't want him to trade, and he's like, no, I wanted him to be traded all along.
Not only that,
to be a Pelican.
I always thought the Pelicans were the best place and were going to be outstanding before they got the number one pick in Zion Williamson.
Yeah,
oh, that's wonderful.
Of course, everyone thought that.
This guy's the gift that keeps on giving. By the way, people out there, you know, when you say, "Why do they keep talking to him?" That's why they keep talking to him. Okay. It's for your entertainment purposes only.
He did do a dumb thing, which ESPN has addressed, which was him hitting on Molly Quarum, the First Take host.
Yeah, that was rude.
That was rude. You know, no need for that. But it is a step up from, you know, his interaction with Christine Leahy when he said, stay in your lane.
Completely.
He's evolving.
But he's also married. He's still married to his wife, right?
I think so.
I think
he had disparaging comments about her recently.
Yeah,
so.
Although if they, I have no idea, but that was just creepy, awful.
Yep.
But you know what? Everyone knows when he's on, that's what you get.
Other ball news, I think it was LiAngelo, LaMelo, I don't know which one, but one of them just signed to play professionally.
Yeah, where?
Australia.
Excellent. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. It's SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. This from Robert. Random thoughts. My lifetime have witnessed marked improvement in professional athleticism and skill levels in NHL, NBA, NFL, but I'd argue that that has not occurred in Major League Baseball. Older generations were better? I think so. That's an interesting question. Do you think Major League Baseball, the younger talent, is as athletic as the guys that were in the 80s, 90s, maybe even later than that? I always wondered how, like, Mickey Mantle could hit, like, a 550-foot home run, and we don't really see that often today. Is it better pitching? Was he hitting it off pitching that wasn't as quite as superior as we had now? You know what? It may be perception, Robert. It's hard for me to buy in this regard, only in this regard. I think that the advancement in training and the advancements in the way we see how the body works to certain things and training regimens probably has invaded Major League Baseball. Maybe it is just a perception that it may not be real. And since things like pitching and batting kind of go hand in hand, the batting may be down because the pitching may be good, or the pitching may be, you know, bad and the batting may be up, that it's arguable. Definitely in Major League Baseball. I argue definitely in the NBA and definitely in the NHL. And Major League Baseball might be perception. But with computers and the way they measure things and body efficiency, it might actually take place. It's going to be hard to see. All right, we roll along. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM on a Tuesday. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. And spell it with two N's, because that's the way he likes it.